Well, many years ago, I was at a church summer camp in Missouri, and one of the highlights of that camp was a river trip. And so how it worked is they would pack up two of the oldest dorms, and they would drive way up a river, and you would get out at the head of the river, and then you'd work your way down. And this would take the entire day to do this. It was one of the highlights of the whole camp. Now, these rivers that we floated down, or that the canoe trips were down, they were not, you know, the Colorado River or anything like that. It was nothing outrageous. In fact, when I kind of look back upon it, it wasn't terribly too far off from a float trip, really. That's how lazy these rivers were. And in many sections of the river, you could just sit back and relax and let the current just take you downriver. You wouldn't have to do all that much for many stretches of the time. Sometimes you'd have to do a little course correction here. Maybe you'd have to paddle a little bit over there, but nothing major or anything like that. Every now and then, you would come across a section of river that was a little bit rougher water. And as you come across that, everyone in the canoe would sit up a little bit straighter. They would all grab their paddles, and then for the next couple of minutes, they would all pull together in order to successfully navigate that water feature. And then they could go back to lazily floating back down the river. I want to turn back to Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. The first chapter of Hebrews is talking about Jesus Christ and how much more exalted he is over all the other angels. And lots of consideration on just how amazing it is that we know about him and how fantastic it is that he wants to have a relationship with us. And then we're going to slide into chapter 2 here, Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, with all that in mind, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Why? Lest we drift away. Lest we drift away, letting the current of life pull us hither and yon, to and fro, and just kind of coast through the course of time. Verse 2. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now, if our religion is true and the words we have received faithful, then how can we allow ourselves to go on autopilot as we float without any direction? If you're like me, you can have the tendency to let that happen. And of course, when life gives us a little bit of rougher waters, then yes, we often sit up a little bit straighter, we grab our paddles, we work a little bit harder, only then to have the natural tendency to return to the drifting ebb and flow of life. Sarah has been reading a book that talks about that you can never not go in a specific direction. Either you're being proactive and you're working towards a goal or not. But even if you're just trying to stand still, you're still drifting towards a direction one way or the other. You're moving towards an end whether you like it or not. Like muscles, for example. We can train and exercise. We can work on building them up. But if we ever decide that, all right, I'm good, I've done everything I need, I've got them exactly where I wanted, you can't just leave and let them be. They start to entropy. They regress towards something less valuable, less desirable. They become weaker. In terms of building muscles, if we aren't proactively working on them, they're still going in a direction, just not the direction we want them to go in. And boy, am I proof of that. I want to notice a thought in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to turn back there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start again in verse 1. 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." Well, there are lots of ways that people can be drawn out of the faith. Of course, people can be led astray by various doctrines or by alternative beliefs. And of course, we see this from time to time. And this was, of course, a major concern that Paul had towards Timothy here in this letter. But what about the vast majority of us that go through periods where being drawn away isn't necessarily an issue, but more about a lack of motivation? More about a lack of motivation. The desires of everyday life that push other things to the back burner. The distractions of everyday things, the constant meetings and deadlines of work and school, which can leave our spiritual life just a little bit more malnourished. How do we keep this emphasis on overcoming sin, building righteous character, preparing for the kingdom, rejoicing on God's promises? How do we keep that focus in our day-to-day lives? Not just when rough water approaches, but during the day in and day out parts of our lives, when it's all so tempting to take a mental break and just float down the river for a little while longer. Verse 6, same book, same chapter, verse 6. "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables." And notice this here. "And exercise yourself towards godliness." Okay, well, what do you mean here? "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness..." or we could say exercising godly character here, "but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that is, that now is, and of what is which is to come." There's an interesting idea to link our spiritual focus with exercising. Now, I'm certainly not one to hype the benefits of exercising. That's not me by any stretch of the imagination. But there are some characteristics of exercising that makes this connection a little bit stronger for me. First, for example, like, I can't exercise for the sake of exercising. Like, I can't just go jump on a treadmill and stare at a wall as I go. I can't go to a gym and just lift weights. I can do any of that stuff for a very short period of time. But since, you know, I don't like it, my heart's not in it, I can't really keep it up for any meaningful duration. Instead, though, it works when I build it into other activities that I like. So I love playing ice hockey. So I can go skate out on the rink for hours and hours and hours. And I love that. But to think about coming home and going for a run after work, no, no thanks. Secondly, it does take a little bit of time before you build up enough to be able to notice a difference. I started to ramp up some of my exercise routines this year, and it wasn't until the second half of our hockey season that I started to notice a little bit of a difference. After the last couple of games in the season, when I got back to the bench, I realized I still had a lot of breath left. I could still really chirp at the other team. I could still complain to the refs. Whereas at the start of the season, when I came back, I was just really huffing and puffing and huffing and puffing and trying to catch my breath. The exercising of our spiritual character, though, a far more important and a longer-lasting priority, does work in similar ways. If we build that type of exercise into other parts of our lives, it could be very beneficial. You can print out scriptures and put them where you can see them as you're preparing dinner. We have some on our microwave, for example. You can print out Bible topics and discuss them at a meal, something you already do many times a day. Instead of just focusing on improving a spiritual area, try to inculcate it or build it into a routine that you already have. If you're in the habit of listening to podcasts on the way to work, well, you could switch out one of those podcasts to scripture reading or a Bible-based podcast. If you like to unwind at the end of the day and watching videos, start with a Bible video from a great source, like the Bible Project videos. Quick, simple, well-made, and you can just plug that right into your existing routine. If you stick with it, if you have the patience to understand that it takes more than just a few start and stops, then you can build this into a routine that you already have to create a long-lasting habit. Philippians chapter 3, last scripture here, Philippians chapter 3. I'll read verses 13 and 14. These are familiar sections of scripture. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. This is Paul here. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." I'm not done. I didn't finish it. I didn't get to the end and just I'm all done and ready to go now. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He's built within his daily routine this constant daily mindset, and one that gets stronger and stronger as he exercises it. Well, in conclusion, if we just let ourselves float, the current will take us wherever the wind is blowing, wherever the river leads, or maybe just nowhere in particular at all. But if we keep on rowing, keep on working and exercising, God promises to strengthen us and encourage us in all conditions that we find ourselves in, through trials, of course, but also in the day-to-day routine that we find ourselves of life. So let's grab a paddle. Let's strengthen our arm muscles. Let's encourage one another to be proactive about the direction our boat is heading and continue to work towards the kingdom of God to come.